off on Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud. Mr. Chaim Abisrael comes to the Shia from the Asar Rishon, from the founders of the Shia. Mr. Abisrael has a yard site today. They get spoiled, so he permitted to take a plastic cover, and even if it's a little heavy and it's a little bit of a tircha, that says Mechasim Peris Bekelim Ipnei Adelef. It's permitted if it's leaking in. Adelef means it's leaking in, and you have a Peris on the floor inside the house, so you're permitted to cover over the Peris that they shouldn't get ruined. So the Gemara has a machloikis between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak, a machloikis amaroim. What if the Peris are muktzeh? What if the Peris are tevel? Anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be marfish to Mr. Meisen. So if you're not marfish, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to feed it to the behemoth either. So then it's going to be considered muktzeh. So would you be permitted? But it's still going to be a hefsed moment. If it's going to rain, it's going to get spoiled, it'll still be a hefsed moment. So this hefter, the kula, that it says in the Mishnah, that you're permitted to be matriach a little bit and to take kalim, or to take a plastic cover and cover over the kadayayin and the kadeshemen and the peiris that they shouldn't get spoiled, is that only if the thing that you're trying to cover is a non-mukta item, or even if it is mukta? The hula says, afilu avira delivni, even if you have levanim, you have bricks that are lined up for the purpose of building, and it's oimed lebinyan, it's oimed lemalacha, you're not going to use it for anything else other than binyan, so it's mukta machma sisa malacha, it's oimed lemalacha, you're not going to use it for anything else because it's expensive stuff, so it's mukta machma chisar and kis. But the main purpose that it's aimed for building is not allowed to use it on yontem, and he's makbid, but it's expensive, he's makbid not to use it for anything other than the main purpose. So that's mukta mamish. Even according to Rav Shimon, it doesn't hold for mukta and oichlam and kenim, but he's also maskim that avira delivni will be mukta. So Ula says, even if the thing that's getting ruined is clearly mukta, still the thing that I'm handling is not mukta. I'm taking a cover, I'm taking a kli to cover it, so that's permissible. That's how we pass on Lakula. And Rav Yitzchak disagrees. We don't accept his opinion that the Mishnah is only talking peris or ruyin, only to cover over peris which are not mukta. As the Rav Yitzchak lit anegos l'shitas adam Rav Yitzchak, he developed a din that we don't accept. Enkli nital eler adabar nital b'shabbos. You're not permitted to be metal to l'kli in order to cover over a dvar mukta. The example that the Gemara has in Shabbos daf mem gimel is someone has an egg form. And the hens laid the egg, so the Mishnah says Beitzah Shenolda B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. And then the Braisa says in Beitzah that it's Muktzah, the Beitzah is Muktzah, you're not allowed to move it. So then Rav Yitzchak says, oh, so if you put a plate, you put a pot under the hen, then when it lays the egg, it should roll into the pot, and then that pot is going to become a Bosses L'Gavah Ha'Oser. All the Amoraim agree that that's not allowed. That's called Mevatel Kli Mehechana, to put something on the bottom that a Dvar Muktzah should fall on top of it, and the kli on the bottom should become mukta, everybody's masking that that's not allowed. But what if he wants to do for a carrot? The hen already laid the egg, and it's full of eggs, and he's afraid the hens are going to jump on the eggs and they're going to smash them, they're going to break them, they're going to be a hepsid. He wants to take a pot and put it upside down, and the pot is not mukta, the pot is a yontif, let's say. The pot is a kli shemalachta lehetter, he's allowed to cook on yontif. He wants to know, he's allowed to take the pot and put it upside down, invert it in order to protect the beitza. So Rabbi Yitzchak says you're not allowed to, and we pass him that it is allowed. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's din. So we mentioned last week that there's a machloikas harishonim, and it's really a question in the sugyas. We're going to show it in the sugyas. What's the reason for Rabbi Yitzchak's din? Again, we don't pass him like Rabbi Yitzchak, but what's the rationale for his shita? So half of the rishonim say that he feels that this, just like if you have a kli on the bottom and a dvar mukta sitting on top of it as a basis and dvar asur, it's mukta. So la dinami, if I invert the pot on top and the pot is now mishamish the beitza to protect it, so it also becomes mukta. So the prohibition is that when I'm picking up the pot from over here and bringing it over here in order to cover the egg, I'm handling mukta. It's considered as if it's like a basis.
I'm going to use it for mukta.
Because I'm going to use it to protect the dramut, so it's going to be bottle, it's going to be mishamish the mukta on top, not on bottom.
But even before it gets there,
before it gets there, it's already haste to shine mukta, and I'm being metalpa mukta. And the other Rishonim say, no, Rabbi Yitzchak never says such a wild idea. Why should he say that it's mukta? No. What he meant to say was the following. We know that the Chachamim made Gzera the Rabbanon, that you're not allowed, there is an issur deraisa to carry on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur. You're also not allowed to carry. unless it's a tzorcha chanefesh or the tzorcha yom tzas. But to carry shalom tzorcha, that person will walk in the street on yontif, his pockets are full of junk. He has old tissues and all kinds of junk in his pockets. Not mukta. He has all kinds of junk. He has all the keys in his pocket. He doesn't need a key. Doesn't need it in shul. Doesn't need it at home. Doesn't need it in the park. And he leaves all the junk in his pocket. So that's a malach. You're not allowed to carry on necessarily on yontif. Only if it's tzorcha chanefesh. So in order to prevent people from carrying on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, the Chachamim introduced an Isser of Tiltul Kalim and an Isser of Tiltul Muktzah. They said you're not allowed to move things even in the house because you may carry it outside in the street. So they're going to say you're not allowed to move a gemara, you're not allowed to move a fork and a knife, you're not allowed to move a chair and make life impossible. So they said if it's junk that you don't need it anyway, that's Muktzah. The real Muktzah is Eitzim Havana, we offer junk. So don't handle it. It doesn't affect your life, so don't handle the junk. So that's one is not allowed to handle it at all. And then Tiltul Kalim, to move a fork, a knife, a pot, and so on, so they made a prohibition on that also. That's not called Muktzah. That's not junk. Kli is a davar chashuv. So they said two gzeiros. If it's a kli shemalach de leheter, there's one gzeiro, and if it's a kli shemalach de leisa, there's another gzeiro. So if it's a kli shemalach de leisa, let's say a screwdriver or a hammer, so they said you're not allowed to move it unnecessarily unless it's a gufoy. Unless litzarif mekaymel, litzarif gufa means I want to open up a pickle jar. Something is tight. Something is very tight, and I have to unscrew it. So I'm going to take a pliers in order to unscrew a bottle. A pliers is normally a klisha malach d'leis. You usually do malachas with the pliers. Here he just wants to open up a jar. That's not a malacha. So, but since atish can bear it, that's the only way he has. That's the easiest way to open up the jar. So he's permitted to handle
the pliers
or the screwdriver or the hammer to open it shut. You're allowed to do to take, let's say, a nickel or a quarter in order to open up a bottle of soda. That you're not allowed to do, even though the tzar gufa, because the nickel is mukta mamish. Mukta, you're not allowed to move the tzar gufa. But if it's not mukta, if it's a klisha malach de leiser, like a screwdriver or a hammer or something like that, so the ikir hishtamshis is for malach, and once in a while you use it for a non-malach. So the tzar gufa, you're allowed to move it, all the tzar makama. Let's say it's in the way, and you want to take it out of the way, so you're permitted to take it away also. But let's say it's not in the way and you don't need it, you're just afraid that someone's going to walk in and steal it, or it's on the windowsill and you're afraid someone's going to stick their hands in and take it in the summertime to leave the windows open, or let's say it's a very delicate kli and it's going to get ruined in the rain, it's going to get rusty, or it's going to get ruined in the sun or something. So mechamel itzel, to move it from the sun to the shade, or to protect it, that you're not allowed to move a klisha malach talis. Only the tzorach gufoy, or the tzorach mekon. And if it's a klisha malach talaheter, a chair or something like that, so not only is it permissible to move it, the tzorach gufoy, the tzorach mekon, it's permissible to move it even mechamel itzel. But let's say to move it totally unnecessarily, that you're not allowed to do. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Let's say in between the courses of the meal, when you sit in the things near, so sometimes people play with their cup on the table, or they play with the fork and a knife, and they go like this. So he said that on Shabbos you're not allowed. He said that that's a tilkul klisha malach talaheta shalot tzarach klal. So he said that you're not allowed. He told them, I said that he once visited by a very religious balabas, and they had a leichter on the side when we learned Shabbos. He told the story. They had a leichter on the side that they had not used that Shabbos. They had not. They benchlifted in a different leichter. There's a leichter on the side. So the husband was playing with the fork and the knife and the cup the whole time in between the courses. And he didn't say anything. The Rav Soloveitchik didn't say anything. It was a balabas, so he didn't want to give him musa. And then the young son started to touch the leichter that they had not bench licht on. So the father starts to scream, whoopsie, not allowed to touch the leichter. So then Rav Soloveitchik told the father, I don't understand. You're violating the din the whole time. You're playing with the fork and the knife. That's kolor that it's also. The kid didn't really do anything. If you have a leichter that you lit candles in, so the leichter, the Gemara says, the leichter becomes the bosses of the other house, because on Yom Tov the flame is muktzah. On Shabbos the flame is muktzah. On Yom Tov the flame is not muktzah, because you can use the flame. You can light something from the flame, light another flame from the flame. So on Yom Tov, the whole life, there is no reason why it should be muktzah. But on Shabbos, the shalheves is muktzah. So the candle stick and the candle, everything in the holder, everything that's underneath it, becomes a basis l'davar ha'as. So he said, but if you have a leichter that you didn't bench licht in, so it's not a basis l'davar ha'as. So it's a svar that it's only for beauty. It could be that it's called a klisha malach talaheta. He said, the kid didn't do anything. He just touched it. He didn't do anything. And you're playing the whole time. He said, that's us. So that's the shayla over here, Rav Yitzchak's din. So there are two pshatim in the Rishon, Rav Yitzchak's shita, which is not accepted. Rav Yitzchak says, you're not allowed to cover over a dvar muktzah. So the one beer is, Rashi on the daf says, and the Balamor on Shabbos points out this Rashi on Adar. Says, Rashi said in the end of Beitzah that that's the pshat. That Rav Yitzchak's din, that is, as I'm carrying the pot, it's considered already muktzah. It's already like a buses as I'm walking. As
no,
I'm
no, no, but it's no, 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 it's not there. How can somebody become muktzah just by thinking? Then you can stretch and say, because I'm going to think now, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to use it. So from the moment you take it, it already becomes muktzah.
Not just thinking, he's already going with it.
He's thinking also, then should be making muktzah then. Because no. The moment you make the decision,
so it doesn't go so far.
Either okay. It goes once it gets there, or when it's
definitely. No, we pass it even once it's there, it's still not mukta, only if it's on the bottom. Only if it's on the bottom. So he holds even on top is also mukta, and even as you're carrying it, it's also mukta, so it's still for mukta. And the other Rishonim don't agree with Rashi and the Balamor. They say, Sanish getting here for mukta. The word is that it's a Kalisha Malachta Leheter, let's say. The pot on Yontav is a Kalisha Malachta Leheter, which you're allowed to handle, it's a Gufoi. Or the Tzarek Mekomis, this is not Tzarek Gufay. He wants to use this pot in order to protect the Beit Shenolda, let's say, or in order to protect the Muktzah from the Muktzah Dikaperis, the Tevel, from getting rotten. It shouldn't get spoiled from the rain. So Rabbi Yitzchak holds that's not an acceptable Tzarek. You're only allowed to move a Klisha Malach to Leheter if it's a Tzarek Gufay, the Tzarek Mekomis, or to preserve the Tzarek Choy. Nechama itself to protect the kli, to preserve it, that's only if it's a legitimate tzarek. But you're going to move the kli shemalach to leheter to cover, to protect a muktzah, that's not an acceptable tzarek. Oh, that's what a few people asked last week. What about chametz b'pesach? The some rishonim say, you see from that brisa, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, which is taka true. We do not paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak. Gemara quotes Rayas and Shabbos against Rabbi Yitzchak. Our Gemara doesn't disprove Rabbi Yitzchak. They leave it hanging. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But in Shabbos, they demolish Rabbi Yitzchak. So half of the Rishonim say there in Pesachim in the beginning, you see from that Bryce also against Rabbi Yitzchak. And the other half of the Rishonim say, no, he's not interested in protecting the Chametz. He's interested in protecting himself, that he shouldn't violate the Aveira and eat the Chametz. If a dog would come and eat up the Chametz, a goy would take it and eat it, he would be a happy man. This covering over the muktzah to protect himself, so that's not that he's moving the kli l'tzarach dover ha-muktzah, it's l'tzarach atzma. That's how the Ur Zaruah said on that kash. We're going to see in the Gemara which is the correct pshat in Rabbi Yitzchak. So we started the Gemara. Gemara says Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, Mechasanas ha-peris b'keilim, says you're permitted to cover over the peris. It's raining on the roof, or it's leaking in, or the delef, it's leaking in, and the peris are in the house, and they're going to get spoiled. So it sounds like peris are edible peris. Edible peris. It sounds like it's only a heter by a dvar heter, not a dvar mukta. Peris and avira de livni lo. It sounds like a heter is only on peris that are edible. So the Gemara says not necessarily. One can argue the point and say, who adin afila avira de livni? You can say like Rabbi, like Ula. Maybe the heter to cover over even applies if you're covering a dvar mukta. Why does it say peris? Because the peric begins like that. Mishilim peris, there are haruba.
Yeah.
The peric begins. He's moving the Paris and they're going to fall down the
shoot.
The skylight, right. So since you started off the sentence with Paris, they continue. Machas and Paris became a Tadela. You started with Paris, they continue with Paris.
Why are there smuksa? There can be Machas Maser in Shabbos, but yes, Brera.
You can be mafish me on Erev Shabbos. One can be mafish on Erev Shabbos by Breyer.
But
on Shabbos, the Mishnah says you're not permitted. You can be mafish, On Yom Tov also, you're not permitted. Even though it's Tzarech HaNevis, you're not permitted to be mafish Trumas and Maisus on Yom Tov either. So the Gemara says that the Tevel Dika food would be Muktzah.
You're going to bake Yichalin in Yom Tov?
That the Gemara says in the first paragraph. Yeah. If you're allowed to bake the challah, then you're allowed to take then you're allowed to be mafresh the challah from it, right? But anything that was needed, anything where you did the lisha on erev yontif, then you're not allowed to be mafresh challah on yontif. Only that dough which became chayv and challah on yontif, I mixed the flour with the water on yontif and it became tevel on yontif, then you're allowed to be mafresh the challah on yontif, right? That was the Gemara in the first paragraph. That's right.
In the beginning of the Mishnah, Mashiach and Peiros, can I ask the same question? Peiros and?
No,
Peiros and?
No, that we can't go.
I'm just moving the Peiros.
That
you're not allowed to move it if it's Mukzah, because he's moving it. That's still from Mukzah. But he was just putting a cover on top of the Peiros. He's putting a cover on top. So what's wrong even if it's a Mukzah? The cover is not Mukzah. The thing that he's covering is Mukzah. So why does it say Mechas and Peiros? In the next line in the Mishnah, so Gemara says the hope that Peiros began with Peiros, so we continue with Peiros.
Yadin,
even if it's Mukzah.
The Rashi on Avira the Livna.
Yeah.
He explains he's worried about the rain softening the bricks so that he can't actually use them. Right.
Right. It's going to be absent.
What kind of bricks are they? And he wants to use them. And if they can't be softened by rain,
so how is it going to be?
No.
So Bill, you finish it up later.
In Israel, there are different bricks. I wanted to tell you. In Israel, there are different bricks. Here, you take bricks and you burn them in the oven and you make them harden. There, all you take is cement and sand. You stamp them, and then you let them dry in the air. They become bricks by themselves.
So it has to dry.
But not burned like you have them on the top. They protect
Yeah, some kind of brick.
People lay out the bricks and then they lay up today, 2 or 3 days, they lay to dry.
Okay. So the Gemara continues. It says in the Mishnah, "Mechen kadi, I mechen kadi shemen." The Peric didn't begin with kadi yan kadi shemen. You're adding on something new already.
That's also
Peris. He started saying continue with Peris, but then you switch to a new thing. So what do you switch to? Vayte kadi yan kadi shemen. Switch to a dvar muktzah. Right. Why don't you tell me a bigger chiddush kadi yan kadi shemen is a non muktzah? Right. Gemara says no. It means muktzah, means tevel. And for the Gemara, hachamas kina b'tevel. Then the Gemara says, Hachanami Mistavra, it makes sense to say that it's Davke Tevel. That's the added Chiddush. These are the Kadayan Kadashem and the Hetere. If Kadayan in the second line in the Mishnah just means a barrel of kosher wine, a barrel of kosher oil. So it's the same thing as the Reisha. Peiros, Peiros, Ahin, and Peiros, Ahin. Must be that the Mishnah means Tevel, and it's to tell you Rabbi Yitzchak is wrong, that Kli Nitol, the Tzarek Govashene Nitol, you are permitted to move the lid. You are permitted to move something in order to cover up the Dvar Muktzah. And for the Gemara, not necessarily so. And for the Gemara, Kadayan Kadashem, it's the Chlein. Maybe they're both non-tevel. And it tells me a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush. In the Reish, it tells me Peiros. If it's going to rain on the Peiros, they'll get very spoiled. There'll be a Hepsid Merubah. But if it rains in the barrel of wine, in the barrel of oil, the Gemara says it'll just be more diluted. That's also. It won't be such a big Hepsid Merubah. It'll just be a Hepsid Merubah.
How hard it is.
Huh?
It'll replace the wine. If the barrels are full, the wine is going to go out. The water's going to come in. Yeah.
That's what the Gemara suggests. That maybe the added Chiddush is not that even Muktzah is mutter to cover. Le'olam Rabbi Yitzchak will say, no, if the Kadayan Kadashemen is Tevel, you're not allowed to cover it. It means it's not Tevel, everything is Hetera. But the added Chiddush is that it's only a Hefsed Mu'at. The Peiros is a Hefsed Merubah, and the Kadayan is a Hefsed Mu'at. That's how the Gemara says, Sagat Ayta Chamina, one might have thought to say, Le'hefsed Merubah Choshishu, Le'hefsed Mu'at Lo'i Choshishu. The Bonnie Choshish, you shouldn't suffer a major loss. So the Peiros are going to really become spoiled from the
river. I could see the opposite. I see the pear is not going to get spoiled, the wine gets spoiled.
If you have apples, then you get washed off. And if you have barrels, open barrels, it's going to ruin it. Yeah. But the Gemara is suggesting that maybe Hachamah is...
My kadem are not closed. The kadem must be open.
Right.
I would have thought, when I visualize pears, I visualize pears. You wash them off so they get clean, so gewaldig. And they open barrels of wine, so it's going to ruin the wine. Yeah. So the Gemara is suggesting
Traket.
You
talk about Peiros who were laid out to dry.
They
get spoiled by the rain.
Going to get spoiled by the rain. That's what
Rashi says, there's actually a curtain inside them.
Dirty kind of water coming on.
That's what Rashi says, that's in the Mishnah.
Yes, so why does that get spoiled? I don't know.
Dirty water would be spoiled.
Would be spoiled if it rains on it.
I imagine so.
Why it gets washed off? So it gets
How the rain it comes from the roof and it's dirty water.
Dirty water. I don't know. That's how the Gemara suggests that the Peiros means a Hefsed Mu'at and the Kadayan is a Hefsed Mu'at. Peiros is a Hefsed Merubah and the Kadayan is a Hefsed Mu'at. So Baita, we don't know who's right. You can't tell from the Mishnah whether Ula is right or Rabbi Yitzchak is right. Then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, it's leaking in, the Gemara assumed that it's filthy water until it leaks through the whole roof. So it's going to get filthy, because mamish mukta is junk. Dirty water is junk. So it says in the Mishnah, and you know, I don't want it to leak on my rug. It's going to leak on the bookcase, on the table. It's going to ruin the furniture. So I take in a waste paper basket or a bucket, and I put it under the leak that it should collect all of the water. So the Gemara says, what are you doing over here? You're taking in
but here you're making it a bosses.
Your mamish making it a bosses.
Yeah,
this
worse.
Is a bigger kasha. Yeah, this is a bigger kasha. So you're making your mamish a bosses. Well, yeah, did all the Amoraim hold that you're not allowed to do that?
Right.
So how can it be such a mishnah? So behechreach, you have to answer that it's delif haroi, that the water is not dirty water. It's not so clean that a person's going to drink from it either. It's not so clean that you've got to wash your clothes in it. But Rashi says it's clean that an animal can drink the water. An animal can drink the water. If it's Michael Behemoth, so that's enough, that it should not be considered Muktzah.
Doesn't it say somewhere that the Shumim are Muktzah because they come from the Ananim from yesterday?
Yeah, and the first daf in Beitzah, Tosfos quotes a Havamina of a Gemara. That was a Havamina in the Gemara. Where's that? Here. That's a famous thesis. The first daf and beitzah, they quote from Erev and daf memheim and days. And the Gemara suggests as a havamina that the water, when it's in the clouds, is in a state of gas. It's not yet water. And then when it rains, then it converts into water. So that should be noilat gomer, that should be mukta mamish. So the Gemara frekt akasha, why isn't it mukta mamish? And the Brisa says that it's not mukta. The Brisa there in Erev and says, the Brisa says the clouds go miles away. Till it rains, the clouds can travel miles away. So the Gemara frekt akasha is the chutz l'kum. This cloud was miles away in the beginning of Shabbos. And the cloud moves over here in the middle of Shabbos. It starts to rain, Shabbos afternoon.
Boy,
so let's consider this like something that went chutz l'kum. There is a machlokes hatanoim on that din, that if something went chutz l'kum, there's a Mishnah in the end of the Mesichta. Let's say somebody goes to Eretz Yisrael for Yontif and he leaves all of his things in his home. And the children have the key to the home. So they go in and they take out a machzor, they take out some food, they take out some tables and chairs. So the Mishnah says that there's a problem over here because the owner is in Eretz Yisrael and he has his Tchum Shabbos and Yontif over there. All of his property here in New York is Chutz L'Kum. So the din is you're allowed to move it in the house. The house, the whole house is one big Rishus HaYochid. It's like within David Andes, but to take it out of the house, in it, you have an Erev in the community, so the whole community is like one big David Andes. An Erev is like one big Rishus HaYochid. But if there's no Erev in the community, then you're only allowed to carry all the things in the house. You're not allowed to take it out of the house. You're not allowed to take it out of the house. Even on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry, because the Balabos is Chutz L'Tchum. So there's such a din in the Mishnah that if something is Chutz L'Tchum, where it belongs, whatever its Tchum is of the owner, so you're not allowed to move it chutz l'dalet amoisa. So there's a machlokes hatanoim. What if the dover shel hefker doesn't have an owner? If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you left all of your things in your home, so you're the owner, so the habeim of the hakelim, kiragli habailim. Whatever your tchum is, that's the tchum of your property. What if it's water in the clouds? The clouds don't belong. Belongs to the bani shalom. Doesn't belong to any boss of a dump. So it doesn't belong to anybody. It's a dover shel hefker. So do you say, because the clouds van chutz l'tchum,
and
then it rains over here, so you're not allowed to drink the rain, you're not allowed to handle the rain because it's chutz to its tum, it was kind of shvisa, the water was kind of shvisa. Ben Ashmash, Gemara quotes at Brisa there and there, and Daf Mem, hey, it's not a problem. There's no problem with chutz tum. So Gemara says, why not? It must be because nichse hefker are not kind of shvisa. But what do you do if you're all like the other Tana? Machlek Satanaim. So the Gemara says, nah, when the water is in the clouds, it's in the state of gas. It's like a non-existent thing. The only time you can talk about nichse, even according to the Tana, the nichse hefker, a kind of shvisa, even a thing that has no owner, but it has a din of chumen in the beginning of Shabbos, that's a dovish, sheish mamamish, something that you can, tangible that you can touch. But the maya be'iva, the water in the avim, in the clouds, mivle b'li, it's like balua, and since it's like a state of gas, that's not kind of shvisa this. The frek digamar, wait a minute. If you're going to say like that, that the water that's in the clouds, maya b'iva, middle of bliz, like balua, it's like in a state of gas, kenisha eno, and then when it rains in the middle of Shabbos, it's like yesh me'ayin, so it's nach noilat gomur, so why shouldn't it be muktzah? So the Gemara says, you better not say that, maya b'iva, middle of bliz, don't say that. So Tosfos only quoted that Gemara for the Havamina. They wanted to demonstrate from that Gemara in Erevin, that's on the very first daf in Beitzah, Beitzah Menal, Kosal Kadaita. There's a quote that you see from that line that everybody's masking that if something comes into existence in the middle of Shabbos which didn't exist before, there is no such thing comes into existence. Nothing can be created or destroyed. You can only change the form. But that's what it means. It changed the form. Panim Chadash is such a startling fashion that before it was clearly gas and now it became a tangible object. Then what to be mukta l'chaladeh? And no lagami should be mukta. That's what Tosfos quoted. But the din in the Gemara is that the water is not mukta. There's a shaila if it snows on Yom Tov or Shabbos, that's a modern machleik. I don't know why it doesn't appear in the Gemara. That's a modern machleik. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, even though the Gemara says that when it rains on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the rain is not mukta, and there's no issue of chutzal krum, but he says that snow is mukta. What's that? The snow is mukta. I think Rav Moshe said because snow is a piece of junk and it has no hishtamshus whatsoever.
Right.
Water people use to wash the car or
you can melt the snow and have water.
Yeah, but we don't do it. I don't know. Other people is, but the kids always play, they make snowballs, they make snowmen. So why is snow considered a piece of junk?
One of the
passmen,
because it was so problematic in a house, he said,
you had
a neighbor, you had a shovel to walk to get out.
Yeah, I think most assume, not like Reb Moshe, most assume when the Gemara says that if it rains on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the rain is not mukta, so who are they now? It's snow. The Pashtus is, yeah, most
Gilgul Shelag would be forbidden.
Huh?
Gilgul Shelag would be forbidden.
Gilgul Shelag, okay.
Did Rav Moshe comment on the
Tzibur
Bais?
He
never mentioned that. Gemara never
mentioned
the
Shelag.
Did he mention why
on Tzibur Bais? I don't know. The Gemara has very little about snow.
So there was no snow.
Rav Zevin published an essay many years ago about Shelag Bahalacha. So he collected, Mamish, he had a scrape from the bottom of the barrel. He had a quote from Mishnah here and a Mordechai over there. There isn't so much in Halacha about snow. There aren't so many dinim to talk about snow.
There was no snow in Israel.
Well, there does snow.
Yeah,
depends which part of
Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. I mean, I haven't got to call Kotel Yerushalayim in a big snow.
A little bit, yeah.
Well,
once
bit.
In a long while. In Golan, it snows like much more, yeah.
Couldn't drive, got stuck.
Okay.
Yeah. So them is this. No, everything in the world was hefker until Adam Arishin came and he was kind. And then after man was kind, then he could be machkeretik, given away. But let's say it rains or it snows. So the rain or the snow that comes down from heaven is like Adam Arishin kaidim anything. Everything starts off as being hefker. Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Boris, Nosan, Leviyad. He made everything happen and he gave us Rishus to be kind. So the Amar quotes this Mishnah that you're permitted to put a bucket
under the
leaking rain. That's our Mishnah, the last line in our Mishnah. So the kasha that the Gemara asks is really the way you said it. It's a bigger kasha than when they entered it. It's nothing to do with Rabbi Yitzchok's din. It's tamar kasha. You mevatel kli me'echone. You put it under. If the leaking water is dirty, that was the assumption. Leaking water is dirty and it's junk and it's garbage. It's like Eisman of the offer. It's mukta mamish, a piece of junk. So you're making the bucket into a buses d'aros. Everybody holds that's forbidden. That's the Gemara Shabbos. But somehow, our Gemara ignores that. They didn't ask that kasha. They just asked from Rabbi Yitzchok. If Rabbi Yitzchok is right, that ain't klinita, tzachdavranita, that you're not allowed to move something which is not muktzah. You're not allowed to move a non-muktzah dikikli in order to service something which is muktzah. So Frank Bimarsa, how can he take a bucket and put it under the dirty water? But isn't he servicing the muktzah?
It's very hard that the Mishnah brings this in as a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchok. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yitzchok.
It's a bigger kasha on everybody.
Yeah.
And truth of the matter, I'm not interested in protecting the water. I'm interested in protecting the rug. I'm interested in protecting the furniture. No, it's like the Rishonim, said, how are you allowed to cover over the chametz on Pesach or contra Rabbi Yitzchok? So the answer, he's not interested in protecting the chametz. He wants to protect himself from doing an aveira. So here also, he puts the bucket under the leak. He's not interested in collecting the dirty water. He's going to throw it out the garbage. He's interested in protecting the rug and the furniture. So she really, It should the davka not be a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchok. It should be a bigger kasha on everybody. That is the malach of klei mechani.
But the klei is a bucket that you don't use for cooking, that you willing to become as a container for dirty water.
Yes.
Mukta it from the beginning.
No. Why? You can use it to put in clean water also. You can put in all kinds of things.
Wash out the bucket. You use it for clean water.
They used to, years ago, they used to use water to draw water from the well. They used to use a bucket to draw water from the well.
Yeah,
today,
that's a special bucket for the began. You take any bucket that you wash your floor with.
But that bucket today, you can wash out and use it. Today you have many buckets. You didn't have many buckets. You use the same bucket for the same thing.
Anyway, so you point out the Gemara's kasha, really they should have asked a much bigger and a better kasha. But the teretz that they give answers all the kashas.
Yeah.
Everything more. But the alafah, right, we're talking about the water that's leaking in is not filthy water. That's mukta. It's not mukta, it's roi. So Rashi touches up. What do you mean it's alafah roi? Someone's going to drink it. Someone's going to wash their clothes off them. No, the behemoth can drink. It's roi l'machal behemoth, so the mele it's not mukta. Okay. Michael Bema is not Mukta. We pointed out, we're going to have to chazer again. We pointed out, the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, the beginning of Perek Kol HaKelim, the 24th Prokim in Shabbos. So Kol HaKelim is one of the later Prokim in Masechah Shabbos. So the Gemara talks there about Mukta a little bit. So the first half, the Gemara says, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, Rashi Tikkun. All the laws of Mukta are wrong in the Rabbanan. But whenever possible, they pattern the Dinim de Rabbanan along the lines of Dinim de Rais. So they wanted to, what prompted the Chachamim to introduce the prohibition of Muktzeh? They want to prevent people from violating Hoitzah. That's what the Gemara says. But when they instituted it, so they said the laws of Muktzeh apply to everything outside of Adam, Mekelim, Ochlam, and Mashkin. Why they pick on these four categories? Because these are the four categories that are Mekabel Tumah. These have Chashivas that are Mekabel Tumah. Adam, Mekelim, Ochlam, and Mashkin are Mekabel Tumah. Everything else in the world is not Mekabel Tumah. So the reason why everything else is not Mekabel Tumah is because it's a piece of junk. So junk, what do you need the junk on Shabbos? So there were guys that don't handle any junk on Shabbos. So what's determined as junk, what's not junk? Whatever is Mekabel Tumah is not junk. Whatever is not Mekabel Tumah is junk. But then the Gemara says, but it's not exactly 100%. Let's say Adam is Mekabel Tumah, only Ayid is Mekabel Tumah. Anochri is not Mekabel Tumah. So you're going to say Anochri is a piece of junk and he looks it. No. So it means Adam, even though for Hilchus Tumah, Adam means Ayid, but all human beings are not Muktzeh. Let's say Kelim, I'm a Kabbal Tumah, so it's not Muktzeh. But there are three Kelim, Klei Glolim, Klei Avonim, Klei Adama, stoneware, is not Mekabel Tumah. Synthetic material, Kelim, Asvar, is also not Mekabel Tumah. Not Minatara, not Midrabban, synthetic Kelim. Plastic Kelim, and I'm a Kabbal Tumah. So you're going to say that all plastic Kelim are Muktzeh on Shabbos. No. So you say it's patterned a little bit after the dinim of Kabbalah. It's not 100%. So the same thing, the Ochlam HaMashkim, strictly speaking, Ochlam HaMashkim on the Kabbalah Tumah is only Michael Oda. Michael Behemah is not the Kabbalah Tumah. But you don't say Michael Behemah is Muktzeh on Shabbos. It's junk. It's not exactly. The Odom is not exactly 100%. And the Kalim is not exactly 100%. There are Kalim that are not Mekabel Tumah, and they're still not Muktzeh. And the Ochlam HaMashkim is also not 100%. And the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, and that daf, and the first daf in Kol HaKelim points it out. When you manufacture a needle and you didn't make the eye in the needle yet, so you can't pull in the thread yet. So it's not yet Mekabel Tumah, but the Gemara says, but it's still not Muktzeh on Shabbos. The needle that's not fully manufactured yet, still has a hishtamshus on Shabbos. You can take out the Gemara says a splinter, so it would not be considered muktzeh on Shabbos. And the laws of Kabbalah Tumah are not 100% in correspondence to the laws of muktzeh. Here the Gemara is going to pick up on this theme a little more. So that's what Rashi says. Oh, here the delaf haroi means that it's dirty water, but you would feed it to the dog. So it's Michael Behemah, so it's not muktzeh. We're going to get later. It'll be relevant. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we have a brisa that says, Parsha Machzelas Agabi Levenim Bishabbos. It says it is permissible to take a mat, something which is non-muktzeh, to cover up Levenim. What are Levenim? Bricks. Bricks, that was exactly the machlokes between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchok. The bricks are the Iker Hishtamshis is from Alok Abinyin, which you're not allowed to do not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. And they're expensive bricks, so he's makbe not to use it for anything else. So that's called That's called Muktzah Machlan Schisaren Kisba. The Iker Hishtam Shusiz Malach is Iser. And he's Makbid because it's an expensive thing, but Daf cannot use it for anything else. So since the bricks are Muktzah, Afil Alibid Reb Shimon, so shouldn't that be the Machlan Kisul and Rab Yitzchok? So how come it says Beferish, Pors Machsal Gabla Beinu B'Shabbos? And for the Gemara, no, it's different. When do you say that bricks are muktzah? If the bricks are there on a location, and you're going to build with those bricks. Hachamaskina, the guy already built this house. He finished, and he has left over 10 bricks. So what's he going to do with the 10 bricks? He's going to use it to build another house. 10 bricks is not enough to use another house. So the Gemara says he's going to use it as a coaster place to put a cup on. He's going to use it for some purpose other than building. He doesn't have enough bricks. He already finished building what he had in mind to build. He's going to use it for some other purpose. And for the Gemara, that brisa that talks about Paris Machzelos Agabi Levainim, that's talking the Iyater Mibinyana, the leftover. Ibigib living from the binyan. And what's he going to do with that? The Chazil Mizgalai, it's good to lean on, it's good to put food on, it's good to put a safer on it or something. So he's going to use it. So it's a kli. Okay, leftover. Cinder block's going to use for something else. Yeah? So that's how the Gemara says Rabbi Yitzchak will far enter. We don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. So we say Pshat in the Brice says it goes on Levenim that are Muktzeh. And Kli is Nitol Shalot Tzav Tov Anipa. Rabbi Yitzchak can delay his way out of it and he'll touch. Those bricks are not Muktzeh. So Gemara Vaita Toshma, we have another Brice that says Beferish, Pars Machzal Hagabi Avonim B'Shabbos. Avonim! It's my Avonim Yofa. Avonim is not Muktzeh Mamish. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yitzchak, how can Rabbi Yitzchak be right, state the Farish, that it's Muktzah? Everything, what, there are different kinds of Avonim.
Useful ones.
If you have small Avonim, and for the Gemara, Avonim the Kurzolas, it's talking about tiny little pebbles. Bismarck, Gemara, they didn't have toilet paper. So when they went to Beis HaKisa, how they clean themselves also? They used to use little sized pebbles. Shouldn't be too big, shouldn't be too small, exactly the right size. And one Shabbos discusses what size it has to be. The Chazin Lebeis HaKise. So that's not considered Muktzah. That's not considered a Dovishol Muktzah. He's talking, he was Mazmin it. Normally, Eitz Ma'avonim Yofar is Muktzah, but if the guy was Mazmin, these Avonim, these pebbles, Mabodyam, he's going to use it for Beis HaKise, then he's permitted to handle it for that specific purpose. So it's not considered Muktzah. So Vaita, you can't really disprove Rabbi Yitzchak. We don't pass like a Medina. We don't have any Mishnah Brisa.
If we move about it so much to go to disprove that we do pass like that, a lot of times the Mubar says that since the Mubar tries to disprove him. Otherwise, if they don't pass like Brisa, the Mubar bothering so much to try to disprove him.
Yes, how can he even maintain such a shita? How can he express such an opinion if it's in ganzen wrong? So they say, no, he's entitled to his opinion. But the Gemara in Shabbos finally does disprove and says, we don't accept his opinion. So the Gemara is still trying to disprove. The Gemara says, Toshma, Parsim Machzeles, this is going to be the last proof. They're not going to quote anymore. Parsim Machzeles, I've got to be Kaveres Devorim. Devorim are bees, and the Kaveres Devorim is a beehive. So you permit it to cover over, and it's pouring. It's pouring and it's going to rain into the beehive and it's going to ruin whatever. It's going to ruin the honey, going to kill the bees, whatever. What is he covering it for? Either it's raining and he wants to protect the inside of the beehive, he doesn't want the rain to come in and ruin everything, or if it's too hot, it's too sunny, and he has to cover it over. So it says that it's permissible, although provided you have to be careful. One of the lamatas melachas is tzedah. You're not allowed to catch a wild animal, not only a wild deer or go catch a fish, is tzedah, but you're not allowed to catch little bugs either. So if you have bees that can fly freely in and out of the kaveres, of the beehive, and you close up all the openings and now they're all trapped and they can't fly out, so that's a violation of tzedah. So the Brisa says...
There's a big problem every sukkah. Because all the people that get bees in the sukkah, they try to put a cup on top. So everybody's loitering on the seder.
The Gemara has a stickle head. The Gemara says if you're afraid that it's going to bite you, so then the Gemara says when you catch the bee, it's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. Malacha shein tzvicha legufa is only an isa de rabbana. Malacha tzvicha legufa means I catch an animal and I'm going to use it. I catch an animal, I'm not going to use it. So I did a malach, I'm not going to use the thing. So that's a machloekes
satana. If I'm fishing and throwing it back in the water, then you have it?
No. Not have it, it's only the rabbanah.
Same thing with the bee. It's shemus covering up and the bee just doesn't want the sun to come in. It's no shemus covering.
No, we'll get to the dove shemus covering. But over here, let's say if you put a cup upside down on the bee, because you're afraid it's going to bite you. So then the Gemara says that it's mutter. Why? Because when you catch the bee and you don't plan to use it, that's we paskin, it's only an issa de rabbana, the mokum tzaira le gaza be rabbana. Since he's afraid they're going to bite, since they're really afraid they're going to bite and someone's going to get hurt, so the mokum tzaira le gaza be rabbana. But here the Gemara is talking about bavach le iskabin lotzu. He shouldn't have in mind to do tzeda on the bees. Fine. So what's the Gemara's kasha?
You can take it.
What does he want to protect over here? What is his interest over here? So the Gemara thought that he wants to protect the bees. He's afraid the bees are going to die from the heat, or the bees are going to die from the rain. So he wants to protect the bees. So the bees are mukta, balakayim are mukta. Okay. So that's the Gemara's kasha. How is he permitted, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, how is he permitted to handle a machzelus, a mat, which is a non-mukta item? How is he allowed to move the mat in order to protect the bees? Either bees are mukta. And for the Gemara, not only is he interested, he's going to protect the bees also, but his main interest, he wants to protect the honey. The honey shouldn't get ruined. And for the Gemara, hasam nami dika dvash. His interest really is in moving the machzelus to protect the dvash. And dvash is not mukta. About a jar of honey is not mukta. So here the honey and the thing is not mukta. Fegma akasha. But you don't have honey in the beehive in the wintertime. Only in the summertime, the springtime, in the winter, they don't leave the honey in. Amle rabuk from imeshma rabashi, effect akashaha, teinach, this is niche. The answer that you gave that he wants to protect the honey is a good answer. Bimaisachama, why dika dvash? That there is honey. Oh, but bimaisach shamim, in wintertime, they don't leave the dvash, they take it all in the house. And for the Gemara, no, even in the winter time when the farmers used to take in all the honey, but they used to leave two chalas dvash, two combs of honey that the bees themselves should eat. It. So that honey is roi lachila, it's Michael Adam, it doesn't even have to be Michael Adam. Michael Behemah is also Michael Adam, and Michael Behemah is not Mokzer. Fine. Feg de Marakashe. What good is that answer? But osim shtei chalois muktzes heim. But the two chalas dvash, the two combs that you leave, are muktze. Why are they muktze?
Because you're not allowed to pull it out. It's like if you take out the chalas dvash from a beehive, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, no?
Rei da chalas dvash, b'Shabbos is a malacha.
Who brings a rai from
Pasuk?
From Shimshin, right?
From Shol, no, forgot. What does Rashi write here? Muktzes ninu lidvayre. Gemara said the two chalas dvash that you leave all winter long for the dvayrim. The Gemara says that's muktzes. The Rashi says for the dvayrim tea. So it's Michael Behema. So what's wrong? So Michael Behema is not muktzes.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
So why should it be muktzah? That's the shot. Why should it be muktzah? So you say because it's an issa to remove it. So even if it's full of drash,
he's not removing it. It's intentionally to remain there from the beginning for the dvorim. He never intends ever to remove it. It never can become muktzah.
Eventually.
If he changes his mind tomorrow and he wants to use the challah for Yom Tov, and I'm thinking the challah
and the honey,
yeah, then it's muktzah. Then it becomes muktzah because it wasn't ready for dvash. It was only unprepared, almost like a betzah. Still on all the b'shabbos. It was still inside the, what do you call it, inside the comb, the honey comb.
No, but the Gemara says like this: the two combs of honey that you leave there in the winter time, all the other honey taken out. The two bars of honey that you leave for the bees to eat are muktzeh. Set aside for the dvarim, and therefore why is it muktzeh? So it's Michael Behemah. So why is Michael Behemah muktzeh? Why is Michael Behemah muktzeh?
Only because you're afraid you shouldn't take it out.
Because you're not allowed to scrape it off. So everything, so all the dvash, what did the Gemara answer before? Hachmas kinadika dvash. All the dvash is also the scraped out. So it must be that it was already marustak, it already was scraped off of the comb. So that, what does the Gemara consider the two chalas dvash that's miyuchad for the bees? Why is that considered mukta? So my impression is that the Gemara means it's the exact same Gemara, Shabbat, Daphne, Gimel, word for word. The whole 20 lines is the same. So I think the Pasha Pshat is the following. The din is that these four things, Adam, Mikhail, Mochel, Mamashkim, are not Muktzeh. The Chachamim, Mesakim, called it Tikkun, Rabbanim, Kein, the Raisa, Tikkun. Yeah, but that's only a thing that has a Hishtamshis that you move. Let's say a thing has a Hishtamshis, it just sits there, we never move it. Let's say the clock just sits on the wall. Or I have paintings that sit on the wall. The Hishtamshis is that we look at them. If you have flowers that sit on the table, but sometimes you move the flowers off.
Yeah, when
my wife always leaves flowers on the table, and then she starts serving the meal, so there's not enough room. You have a lot of guests, you have a lot of food. So she takes off the flowers, and you put when the lights go out, so you put the flowers in another room, whatever. So the flowers have a hishtamshus where you handle it. You move it around, but if the ganze hishtamshus is, painting, you just leave it on the wall. So sometimes you have photographs on the wall, you take them down, and you show everybody, look at this, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. That's one thing. But sometimes you have things on the wall, you never take them down.
Yeah.
It's not aimed to be taken down to show everybody and to hang it up. You just leave it and it sits there.
Visual.
So the Magen Avraham writes that that's muktzah. Magen Avraham writes a thing that's not aimed
l'hishtamshus.
And hishtamshus doesn't mean to look, it means to handle it, is considered muktzah. It's a davar shein bo hishtamshus. You can't call it a piece of junk. Expensive Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
But it's a dover that by definition it's a dover shame but so I think that's the Gemara's kasha. Michael Behemoth is not muktzeh. But that's only by Medrav Amur. If the type of the Michael Behemoth is such, I have to feed the Behemoth. I'm gonna move it around. But here I don't move it around. I just leave the two chalas bash there for the dvarim, and I don't touch it at all. And the whole nature of the chalas bash is it's muktzes ledvarim. It's miyuchad for the bees, and I don't handle it at all. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So then it should be muktzes. It's like the painting on the wall that we're makbid not to move around. So that should be considered muktzes. And for the Gemara. Well, that's it there that you don't learn. Okay. Well, once in a while he may decide to look at it.
What you're saying, the painting and the clock does not diminish in time, but the dvash eventually will be diminished in time. The dvash is a different thing than the
The D's are eating it up.
They're going to eat it up, or it's going to be diminished. The pictures are not going to become less by you looking at it.
The bees are going to use it. The human beings are not. Machabeim is not mukta. Someone's going to handle it, feed the bees. But if no one's going to handle it.
And if you leave enough food for the animal to eat themselves, all this food becomes mukta.
No.
And you leave it for 6 months for animals to eat by themselves. You put every 6 months food outside, the animal eats by themselves. It becomes mukta for them.
There is such a thing. I think that's what the Gemara means.
Yeah. So then you have to say that.
I think so. I think that would be muksa. I think. So
but
that's the Gemara's.
What you say is only not muksa when we feed it by yourself.
You can handle
it.
When you
Otherwise, it
becomes a thing which is not intended to be handled.
Be used.
Anything you don't need
is a muksa.
No, nothing.
But here I do need it. Here I need it to keep the bees alive. But I don't handle it. I don't plan to handle it at all. That's it. I leave it there. So by definition, that's called mukta. Something that's aimed not to be handled is mukta. So the Gemara says, Avaita, don't you have a right? The Rabbi Yitzchak is wrong. You're permitted to cover over the beehive in order to protect the two chalazash. The two chalazash are mukta.
So
we paskin like Ula is a good. That's mukta. He's still permitted to protect the mukta. But how can Rabbi Yitzchak maintain his opinion? It's against the price of everything Gemara. He can save himself. Rabbi Yitzchak can kvetch arayin hachamaskinon. He had in mind on Erev Shabbos he scraped some of the honey, and he says, I may decide to take some of the honey to dip in my challah, to dip in my apple, and I'll replace it with other honey after Shabbos is over, next time, whatever. And for the Gemara, maybe he's talking a case that he intended in both yom. So he may handle it. He has a mind. He may handle it on Shabbos.
What happens if somebody puts aside some hay for the behemoths for Shabbos? This is not muktzah.
Puts aside hay.
Hay, bundles of hay.
No.
So that the behemoths can eat.
And then he's going to have to feed it to the behemoths. Or he just leaves it there like
that. He leaves it there.
And some of them is going to be muktzah.
So the same thing.
Unless it's a type of hay that every day he gives more hay.
So we have the same thing. So this is muktzah. Because this is muktzah levirim.
Right.
So that's what he's saying.
Right. So that's what the Gemara said. Isn't it muktzah? Because he doesn't plan to handle it.
Yeah.
And the Gemara, Hamas Kinan, he had in mind on Erev Shabbos. He may want to use it. He may take it out. He does plan to handle it. So it's not muktzah. It's in the winter time when there's no dvash. But the two chalas vash are there, and normally the two chalas vash should be muktzah. He doesn't plan to handle it. Here he's talking, he does plan to handle it. Feg the Gemara. If so, if what you just said is so, so it should say he's only, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, if Rabbi Yitzchak is right, that the only time you're allowed to parse in machzelas to protect the honey is if the honey is mishke muktzah. But if Loi Chishev Aleh didn't have in mind, which is usually going to be the case, what is he talking about? Aval Loi Chishev Aleh, what's the din? My, what's the din? Osur, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yitzchak would say you're not allowed to cover it to protect it. So, Frank Digmar, why does the last line in the Brisa say, but you got to be careful not to violate Tzedah? But you have to fly off the Tzedah, jump off a different. Why don't you stick to easy things, Muktzah? You started off, you're permitted to put a mat to cover up the beehive to protect the honey, only if the honey is not muktzah. But 90% of the time, 95% of the time, the two chalas drash in the winter time are going to be in muktzah. So say then, if Rabbi Yitzchak is right, to say then you're not allowed to cover it up. What do you have to, Rashi says, what do you have to fly off to start talking about different topics, say though? You're holding by muktzah to zav. Yeah. You're only allowed to cover it over if the honey is not muktzah. Let it be also because make a distinction within hilchus muktzah. When do we permit you to cover it over with a match? But if we didn't have in mind on Erev Shabbos to use the honey, the honey itself is muktzah. And Rabbi Yitzchak would say that it's also. And everything in mind, no, that we know. The muktzah story we understand. The Braisa wanted to tell me a chidish, agabi chidish. That even if none of this stuff is muktzah, there's so much honey there, not just the two chalas dvash. There's so much honey, it's Michael Odom. And everything about hachikom, afal bishchish baalein, even though it's full of honey. And there's no muktzah, and there's no shayla muktzah, but you got to be careful not to violate Seder. All right, so there's no kasha and Rabbi Yitzchak, there's no raya. You can't tell one way or the other whether Rabbi Yitzchak is right or wrong. Okay. It's fine. So that's basically the end of the sugya. Is Rabbi Yitzchak right, Rabbi Yitzchak wrong? We don't know. And this Gemara, you don't know. In Gemara Shabbos, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that he's wrong and we don't accept his opinion. Now the Gemara is going to check a little bit the discussion that we had. Frag the Gemara, just a minute. We know there's a famous machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding muktzah, the Shabbos, and the Yotzah. They all agree that there is an institution of muktzah. If you have Eitzim, Avon of Yotzah, you have junk and garbage, banana peels and eggshells and all the junk that you have in the garbage can that you throw out. In America, people throw out tons of the throw out a lot of stuff that's not muktzah. But let's say you have real junk. So real junk, everybody's masking the muktzah. My flag of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is the muktzah, the kelim of muktzah by Chum. We've discussed it many times. Let's say I have the Pesach Digger dishes set aside. Perfectly good dishes, but I don't plan to use them. Pesach Digger dishes. I don't want to use them now for Chumitz. And then in the middle of Shabbos, the middle of Yom Tov, he finds out that he just won $1 million raffle or something. He just won a new set of dishes, and his wife decides, okay, now we have a new set, we're going to use this set for Chumitz. But in the beginning of Shabbos, the favorites didn't plan to use those dishes. Let's say they had some ice cream set aside for a birthday party in the middle of the week in the freezer, it's edible, it's very lucky that then shall the shooters, they're not fleshing anymore. They change their mind, they decide they want to eat the ice cream, and they'll buy new ice cream for the birthday party. But on Erev Shabbos, they have the favorish in mind not to eat the ice cream. They have the favorish in mind not to use the dishes. So that's the machlokes of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. So Reb Shimon says, no, it's not muktzeh. Regular oichlam and regular kelim is not muktzeh. And even though he has the favorish in mind not to use it, Reb Shimon is maker. And Reb Yehuda is machmer on the muktzeh. He says, no. Since he has the favorish in mind not to use the ice cream and not to use the oichlam and not to use the kelim, so it's muktzeh. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara picks up, the whole discussion that you just gave is obviously following the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Where is obviously following the opinion of Reb Yehuda? The whole discussion that you just gave is Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to check that Reb Yehuda, you are assuming like Reb Yehuda that there is a din of mukta on something that is edible, but you had a mind of favorish not to eat it. So the Gemara says you're talking the language of Reb Yehuda, but Reb Yehuda holds that Dovah Sheinim is Kavan is awesome. There's another machlekes of Reb Shimon, totally unrelated. They had many machlekes in Reb Yehuda Shimon. They argued on a lot of things.
But how can Kavana make something mukse? Let's say, for instance, kalim, food, how can it become? Let's say, for instance, I want to decide tomorrow I'm going to go on a diet. I'm not going to eat the cake anymore that I have in the refrigerator.
But when
I break my butt on Shabbos,
you give me the cake. You give the cake to other people.
Yeah,
you didn't decide that it's poison, you're not going to give it to anybody. You want to go on a diet.
But the question, there's no innate mukse in it. There's nothing other in the cake, there's nothing other in the food. I don't have to prepare before Shabbos everything, make myself a package to limit myself. I only this I can eat on Shabbos, or I can only use this cup of coffee on Shabbos. I can't use the other cup.
No, but if he had the favorish in mind,
not to use
not,
it.
Does want to use
that's
the food. Pesach the dishes, he's not going to use the dishes. Or he has this the ice cream. This ice cream is miyuchad for a birthday party. He has the favorish in mind.
I don't have the right to change my mind.
Well,
anytime.
So why
can't I change my mind anytime?
So we
pass
you.
No,
okay.
Only later.
That's the machlokes.
No,
okay. That's how we pass you. We pass you the way you say, like Reb Shimon. But Reb Yehuda holds that if you change your mind, life just looks it because on Erev Shabbos it wasn't mukhan. It wasn't mukhan. That's the machlokes satanai.
You have to
be mechin in advance.
But
like you said, you don't have to be mechin in advance. It's the numdin of the mukhan. Whatever you have in the house. Whatever is there, if you'll ask him on Erev Shabbos, do you think he may want to eat that? Do you think he may want to use that Vetazogin yet? Maybe I may want to use it. But if you'll ask him, do you think he's going to use the Pesach Dig Additions? He's going to say, of course not. Pesach Dig Additions. You'll ask him, do you think you want to eat the ice cream? He says, of course not. That's miyuchad for something else. So that's a lack, according to Reb Yehuda, that's a lack of hachonah.
Suddenly you feel, well, let's say a cup of silver. Normally you don't use it, you only use it for kiddush. Oh, tomorrow I want to use it for soda or something else. But I cannot use it because I decided already before that so therefore it becomes mukhtar for anything else.
No, the becher for kiddush he could use on Shabbos for kiddush.
But not for anything else.
No, it's a kli that he's meant to be used on Shabbos.
Then you can't limit the pace of the kiddushes either.
Well, no, the Pesach Dig Additions doesn't plan to use at all on Shabbos. If you would have asked him on Erev Shabbos, do you think you're going to use the Pesach Dig Additions, he would have said no. If you would ask him, do you think you're going to use the Becher, he would say, yeah, maybe I'll use that one. I have 20 Bechers, maybe I'll use that one, maybe I'll use that one. I don't know which one I'll use.
Then either everything is mukse exceptional. By to take it out from the mukse, I have to make an active decision and say, this is I'm going to use on Shabbos, and this is going to, and everything else that I didn't take out from the Rishut of Mukse is Mukse.
No, well, we say you don't need such a like you call an active decision. We say whenever you have an umdir in the mukhah, that if you would have asked him,
you can't go on, we can't be on one side permissive and then you come in and you become
a no, that's what the Tanoim say. That's what the Tanoim say. Okay. So Nachamal. So they're two unrelated. They're more machlokes than Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. But they're two unrelated machlokes and they both have to be discussed here. One machlokes is if you have honey. The honey is machal odom, but he doesn't plan to eat that honey. This is miyuchad for the dvarim, and he's not going to move it either. If you have Michael Damon, you're going to handle it. It's not, Michael Damon is also not. It's Michael Adam, but he doesn't plan to eat it and he doesn't plan to handle it, he's just going to leave it there. So is that Mukta or not? So that's what Chavis and Machlek, Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's like the ice cream in the freezer. He doesn't plan to eat it at all, but it wouldn't be Mukta. According to Rabbi Yudin, it would be Mukta. Then there's another Machlek, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shimon. Are you permitted to do a pu'ula hamuteres? I want to do an activity which is not labeled as a malach at all. I'm going to open the door. There's nothing wrong with opening the door, but he knows in advance by opening the door, the wind may blow in and extinguish the flames. So if it's a psikresha, the wind is blowing so forcefully that he knows the flame is going to go on. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to. Well, let's say he knows when you open the door, the lights go on. There's a gadget, the lights go on. You open the refrigerator door, the light goes on. So that's a psikresha. He's only interested in opening the door, which is permissible, but he knows the Vadam Aloch is going to happen. So then you're not allowed to do it. But let's say he doesn't know whether the bulb is in or the bulb is not in. He doesn't know what the system is. He doesn't know how windy it is outside. He doesn't know how powerful the candle is. He doesn't know. He knows in advance that there's a possibility that by his doing the Dabra Mutter, the Dabra Ha'asa may follow. The Rabbi Yudah says, Safik Darais and Lechumra. He's not allowed to do it. That's called Dabra Sheinim is Kavan. I'm doing a Pula Ha'muteris, and I know it may or may not lead up to a Pula Ha'asura. Rabbi Yudah says, you're not allowed. And we pass like Rabbi Shimon, the Dabra Sheinim is Kavan is Mutter. Even though I know in advance that it may or may not lead to an Isser, you're permitted to do it because I'm not interested in the Yisra, I'm interested in doing the Pula Amateras, so it's Mutta. So the Gemara is going to check over here. Isn't there a contradiction over here? Is this Brisa according to the Shita of Rav Yudah, or is it according to the Shita of Rav Shimon? Because the Brisa says you have to be careful. Ubavach Elayis Kavein Lotzud. You have to be careful not to have intention to catch trap the bees. Why only if you have intention? If you know that it may or may not, I'm going to put a Bach cellar. I don't know how many openings there are in the beehive. I never looked at it. I know that it's pouring, it's chlapping, and the rain is going to ruin all of the honey, and I want to protect the honey, so I throw quickly a mat on top. I have to make a whole investigation before I put the mat on top whether there are openings that the bees can fly out or they're going to get trapped. I'm not interested. You're allowed to put a mat on top. That itself is not a malacha. I don't know whether this will or will not cause tzedah.
You're not allowed to seal it. You're not allowed to seal it.
Right.
Stamp it to drop on it, and without caring whether it's sealed on the bottom or not,
it's
you're allowed to. But not going in there, I put underneath that nothing should come in. This is the sealing. The sealing.
Oh. So the shaila is, what if I put I put a mat on top, and I don't know whether it's sealing or not. I didn't investigate the whole thing. Maybe it will cause tzeda, maybe it will not cause tzeda. So according to Rabbi Yudah, that Dov Shenim is Kavan is Osir, you got to investigate before you put the mat on. But the Brisa does not follow Rabbi Yudah. Brisa says, provided you don't have intention of doing the Seder. It sounds like you don't have intention, even though it may or may not cause Seder, that's okay. That doesn't bother me. So you see that the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon's Shita. So why do you talk all the time Rabbi Yudah's language if it's not Rabbi Yudah? The Brisa is anyway Rabbi Shimon. They're really two different issues, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. You can imagine that there's a third Tana who holds halfway like Rabbi Yudah and halfway like Rabbi Shimon. I mean, the Democrats always have to vote Democrats, and the Republicans always have to vote Republicans. Sometimes he's rather... He splits like... Rather for many generations, that's the way it always was. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch always passed like the Chachmas Sforas. Like the Rambam and the Rif and the Sfarbi should pass them. And the Ramah always passed like Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh. Like the Chachmas Ashkenaz. Mamish party line. Until the Shach came along, and the Vilna Gaon for sure, they said, why? He thinks the Rambam is right, and he thinks here Rashi is right, and here the Rambam is right, and here the Rashi is right. But you always, everybody, the Republicans always have to vote Republicans, and the Democrats always have to vote Democrats. So the Shach has long marachas, and he says, I hold that the Mechaber is right, the Rambam is wrong. And the Vilna Gaon is alamol azor. He's always very independent thinking. He doesn't care who said what. He feels he has the right to formulate his own opinion. Not Mechir just because he was born an Ashkenazi. He doesn't have to suffer with Rashi and Tosfos. He feels free to decide with the Rambam. So that's the Gemara's kasha here. The Gemara says, B'mayu kimti, the whole time you're You're talking the language of Rabbi Yehuda when you're dealing with Mukta. Mamaya Kim Tik Rabbi Yehuda Dislay Mukta. Frag the Gemara aim is safer, but the safer of the price is not Rabbi Yehuda. Vachli is Kavein, lots of you shouldn't intend to do Tzedah. Is our son of Rabbi Shimon, Dabadab Shem is Kavein Mukta. The last line in the Brisa, you see that the Brisa is not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Shimon speaking. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only if you intend to trap the the bees, is it also? Even if you know in advance that there's a possibility that you may trap the bees, you're not allowed to. You have to check it out in advance to make sure that you're not
copying it.
That the Pula Hamuteris is not going to lead to a Pula Hamasura. That's the Gemara's Kash. That's the Gemara's Kash. So,
the issue of Tether, does it take place when you cover the trap or when an animal inside wants to come out and cannot come out? What is the access to come into place? If you, does the trap mean that the animal or the bee or the fish wants to come out and can't come out, or once you cover it and it
can
wants
come
to
out?
No, once he trapped it, even before it tries to run it out. Once it's trapped, then it can't get out.
You feel that escape. You feel that escape.
Yes.
You like to be there.
You feel it. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lie in the glass. Lie in the glass.
That's true. It is a malachah in the gufa. Okay. Malachah shein tzricha legufa is forbidden. The only machlokes of Rabbi Rav Shimon is a forbidden and Atzeres is forbidden by the Rabbanan. But they all agree that it's forbidden. I do a malach and I don't plan, let's say I put the cup upside down on the bee, because I don't want that it should bite me. I need the bee for some scientific experiment, for a biology lab. I'm not going to use the bee. I want it to drop dead and I'm going to blow it away. I don't want the bee. So that's a malach shein tzricha legufa. So we pass from that tell me, and he said the Rabbanan. So the mokum tzarf, I'm really afraid you're going to bite someone, it's going to be annoying, so it's mutter. And according to the Tana Rabbi Yudis, and he said, they're right, so the mokum tzarf, you can't be mutter, only the mokum sakana, you would be mutter. So here again, so here's the question, where did, the Gemara says the whole time you're speaking the language of Rabbi Yudis, when you come to mukta, you're using the terminology of Rabbi Yudis, and all of a sudden by Dabba Shem's coming, you switch, you fix it to use like Rabbi Shem. Where do you see that you're using the language of Rabbi Yudis? So Rashi has one comment, and Tosis has a different comment. Rashi has a comment. Rashi says, the whole Shittas Rabbi Yitzchok is based on Rabbi Yudis. If you don't hold from Rabbi Yudis, the whole Rabbi Yitzchok doesn't. Rabbi Yitzchok came up with this idea that we don't accept Allah. So Rashi says the whole Rabbi Yitzchok's din is based on Rabbi Yudis. Bishum de Rabbi Yitzchok, the Masvina Lehanach Tiyufte, Isle Muktzik Rabbi Yudis. The whole Rabbi Yitzchok is based on Rabbi Yudis. That's the Rashi that the Balamor dug up. The Balamor in the end of Masechah Shabbos, Kuf Nun Dalit. Wherever it is, I don't know, somewhere in the end, forgot already what daf. Somewhere towards the end of Masechah Shabbos, Balamor says, there's a Rashi in the end of Beitzel, a Rashi says the Rabbi Yitzchok Shita that's not accepted is an extension of Rabbi Yudis Shita of Muktzah. So that's what we said. That's the, this is the Rashi that Rabbi Yitzchok calls when I'm already planning to move it over. It's already called Muktzah, not that it's a Nisa Tilkul Kevin. If Rabbi Yitzchok Shita is that it's a Nisa Tilkul Klesha Malach Talahet and it's not an acceptable Zorach, since it's a Zorach Dabarasa, it's not called Litzah Gufa Litzah Mukam, it doesn't count. So what has it got to do with Rabbi Yudis Shita? Where do you see in Rabbi Yitzchok that he holds like Rabbi Yudis? So Rashi and the Balamor understood, no, Rabbi Yitzchok is an extension of Rabbi Yudis Din. When you look in the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, it's Muchach and the Sugya not so. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos has the same 20 lines. It says over here, Kol HaSugya Ayin Shom Kamashinun. There are a few slight variations. One of the slight variations is the following. The Gemara Frekta Kash, it says Beferish against Rabbi Yitzchok, you're permitted to be Metalfel HaKli to cover up Muktzeh. Emphasizing Mara Hocha, but my askinon, that case is going like this. I have to take that kli anyway, Litzorach Mekoyma. It's in the way. I have to take the kli, Litzorach Gufoy, anyway. So once I'm taking it, the head to Litzorach Gufoy Mekoyma, I may as well go and cover over the Beit Shenol. I can go cover up the money. So why is that so?
Yes.
Yeah.
A kli which is not
Muktzeh.
No. Let's say you have a klisha ma'achda lehetter, a plate. So you're permitted to move it itself, gufoy, itself nekoymoy, or mechana letzir. But stomp to play with the dishes, you're not allowed to. That's the one of the tzarachim. So the Gemara says there's a favorite b'raisa that contradicts Rav Yitzchak. It says you're allowed to take a plate and cover over money. I'm afraid a nochri is coming to the house and I have a $100 bill here. And then he's going to walk off with the money. So Rav Yitzchak says you're not allowed to take a plate and put it on top of the money to protect the money. So how come it says the favorite is mut everything money? Hachmas kinon. The plate is on the table. We just finished eating. And I'm going to put it in the kitchen. So I'm come. I want to learn. It's time for dessert. So I have to get it off. So I'm allowed to take it off. So once I take it off, and I have it in my hand, and I'm walking in the kitchen anyway, so I put it on top of the $100 bill. That's permissible.
But then it puts it.
If the pshat and Rabbi Yitzchak would have been that he holds it tabosis, and it's an isra mukta, so what does it help if it's so
for
the tzav mukta? Once I have in mind to cover the mukta, so it's an isra tilfa mukta. So kufla tzachon kam is only a heter in the isa tilful kalim. In kalisha malachta leheter, a kalisha malachta leiser, so kufla tzachon kam is a heter. So you see, b'seirish from that gemara masecha Shabbos, that the whole sugi here appears there, and over there there's one more line. The gemara says there that Yitzchak's din that you're not that we don't accept. Yitzchak's din that you're not allowed to move the plate to cover over the money doesn't apply if it's so kufa tzavon kam it is mutter. So that's the beferish that one shot. The Rabbi Yitzchak din, the Yisra Rabbi Yitzchak din, is not that we already consider it mukta shem stofa. If it's mukta, what good is it so kufa tzavon kam? Rabbi Yitzchak says that it's an Yisra, it's not a legitimate, it's not an acceptable Torah. You're allowed to handle plates and pots and klisha malachta lisa, klisha malachta letter. It's so kufa tzavon kam. But in order to cover up a dvar mukta, that's not an acceptable tzorah. But if I have a heter to move it anyway, it's over here. It's so kufa tzachon kam over here. I have to take off the plates from the dining room table and get them out of the way. So once I have it in my hand, the heter, I can go cover over the $100 bill also. So that's sugya in Masechet Shabbos. That's beferish. The Rabbi Yitzchak's din is not based on mukta. But our Gemara never said that answer. So kufa tzachon kam. That's why Rashi says over here, and the Balamor quotes this Rashi. Rashi says that Rabbi Yitzchak's din is an extension of Rabbi Yudah's shita. Rabbi Yitzchak calls like Rabbi Yudah that it's already considered his machmer a mukta, that he considers the plate, since you plan to cover over the money, the plate is already considered mukta. But one could have read the Gemara differently, the way we said it originally. That's how Taisa says. The Gemara says, You're obviously assuming that the Braisa goes like Rabbi Yudah. Where are you assuming the Braisa goes like Rabbi Yudah? So Rashi says over here, because the whole Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak is an extension of Rabbi Yudah. If you don't subscribe to Rabbi Yudah's Shita, the whole Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't exist. But the Sugi of Shabbos is beferish not so. Rabbi Yitzchak's din is not based on Rabbi Yudah. So that's what Tosfos says. No, you're obviously assuming like Rabbi Yudah when you said that the Shtei Chalois are Muktis. Why the Shtei Chalois Muktis? It's a honey. What's wrong with the honey? Is Roy Lachilos on him? Is Michael on him? Why is it mukta? So obviously the answer is it's like the ice cream in the freezer that's miyuchad for the birthday party. So Rav Shimon says the ice cream in the freezer is not mukta. Rav Yudah says no, it is mukta. You don't plan to handle it on Shabbos. You the fairies don't plan to handle it on Shabbos. So it's mukta. It's the same thing. I have honey, but the fairies do not plan to handle it. I plan that's the honey that's miyuchad for the dvarim. I'm not going to handle that. So you're assuming all along that the shtei chalois, which are meyuchad for the dvarim, are mukta. That's your Rabbi Yudah. But my Yukim take your Rabbi Yudah. That line in the discussion is alibi Rabbi Yudah. But not that the whole Rabbi Yitzchak's din is an extension of Rabbi Yudah. So that's the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. How do you read this line? When the Gemara says you're assuming all along like Rabbi Yudah, where were you assuming like Rabbi Yudah? The Rashi says Rabbi Yitzchak's din is on the assumption like Rabbi Yudah, and the Tosfos and other Rishonim saying no. That one line in the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak's din, has nothing to do with Rabbi Yudah at all. It's an issue of tilpul kalim, and the assumption like Rabbi Yudah is the shtei chalos that you assume that would be muktzah. That's the issue. So that's the Gemara's kasha. You're assuming all along in Hilchas muktzah. You're speaking the language of Rabbi Yudah. Then you get to this line. This is the Beferish, not Rabbi Yudah. This is Rabbi Shimon.
If the din is that you're not stum allowed to move kalim, like Rashi said, you're not allowed to play. Why does the rule bring in whether you're allowed to move that kalim to cover up something that's muktzah, why doesn't the Gemara discuss that you shouldn't be allowed to move that keli if you don't need it?
No, but it's a kirsha malacha lehet,
right? So I'm not
really gufo. I want to use it. How do I use it to cover over the money?
But suppose you don't want to use it. You just want to take it off from the table to move it to over here. Even if you don't want to cover up money, or you don't want to cover up money.
Zarf mekomo. I need this table.
Yeah. Oh, so then
zarf mekomo is mutter. Yeah. Well, it's zarf gufo is even mutter. Zarf gufo is even mutter. A screwdriver. I want to open up a jar, a pickle jar. Or a hammer to open up a tight jaw. So klisha malachta liyisser letzorach mekomo is mutter, letzorach gufa is mutter. So klisha malachta liyisser for sure. So I want to take the plate to cover up the money. So should it be mutter? So Rabbi says no. That's not an acceptable tzorach.
The intent from the moment where we start before, and the moment you take it, and you don't want to use it as the intent for Masha's mutter, then it's a gant mukta from the moment you touch it.
No, that's Rashi.
That's Rashi. And the others learn, the other pshat, that it's not an acceptable, it's not a legitimate tzorach.
Is there any difference between a keli malachta liyisser and a keli shem?
Yeah. What about Mechama Letzel? What about Mechama Letzel? Let's say I have this thing. I have my. Let's say I have an Erev. Let's imagine in the summertime in the bungalow colony you have an Erev and you have your summer chairs outside. And you're allowed to carry it in the house. If you have guests and you want someone to sit in the kitchen, so you bring in the chair. But let's say you don't need the chair. But the wind is blowing outside, it's going to be a tornado, it's going to throw the chairs, it's going to fly away. So you want to take it in order that it shouldn't fly away in the wind. So if you have a hammer or a screwdriver outside, and you want to move it inside, mechama letzel, to protect it, you're not allowed to. But in order to carry a klisha malachta leheter, is mutal mechama letzel, to protect it. The tzor gufa, the tzor mekam, they're both mutter. Mechama letzel is only mutter by klish malach to leheter, and not by klish malach to leis. So that's the Gemara's kasha. The last line in the brayse, ubavachala is kaving, lotzud. That's Reb Shimon speaking. So how do you talk all along the language of Reb Yudah if the brayse is clearly Reb Shimon? Frag the Gemara. What do you mean Reb Shimon? The tizbaro. And according to Reb Shimon, that line makes sense. It doesn't make sense even according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds davshen in the cabinet mutanins. I do a pula hamuteris, knowing in advance full well that it may or may not lead up to a pula asura. May or may not. But what if I do a pula? I know that the light is on in the refrigerator. I know when you open out the refrigerator, the light goes on. So that's a secretion. Reb Shimon agrees that you're not allowed to do that also. That's not a davshen in the cabinet. Secretion is asura. So Frank Digimar, the Lashon and the Brisa doesn't read straight according to Reb Shimon either. It says you're permitted to put the mat on top of the beehive, provided that you're not interested in trapping the bee. What does it matter if you're interested?
If you're going to trap
you trap the bee. So it's Seda, subsequation of Seda. Frank Digimar, it's Tisbara, the Reb Shimon. And it makes sense according to Reb Shimon. No, Habai, Barabadam, Chabai, they both send my Reb Shimon, bit secretion. Well, Ayamas, it's wrong according to Reb Shimon also. The line in the Brisa's thumb doesn't make any sense.
Well, you want to say that he needs the Devarim? He wants to catch the Devarim?
No, it doesn't matter whether he
doesn't make a difference. Why does the Brisa say you shouldn't intend to catch the bees? And if you don't intend to catch the bees, then it's mutter? No, if he puts a mat on and he knows they're getting caught, it's already a malacha shame. He's not allowed to. He's not interested in trapping the bees. He's interested in protecting the honey. He's interested in protecting the bees, whatever he's interested in. He's not interested in trapping. But it's a segregation that the bees are going to get trapped. So that's a malacha. You're not permitted to do seder.
If he's not interested in catching the nachash, then it is a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa.
Okay. So here we have to divide. Malacha shein tzricha l'gufa.
So he must be interested in catching.
Malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is either an isa deraisa and isa derabbanan. But the point of shim is an isa derabbanan.
So he must say that he's interested in catching the divide.
No. No, even if he's not interested. So it'll still be an isa. It'll be an isa derabbanan.
I'm malacha shein tzricha l'gufa.
So it'll be an isa derabbanan.
Oh.
It'll still be an isa derabbanan. So why does it say he shouldn't intend to catch the bees?
No.
Yeah. And for the Gemara, you gotta say Kula Reb Yudah. We're talking all along Reb Yudah. It must be the whole Brisa is Reb Yudah. Either last line doesn't make sense. Lo Aliba the Reb Yudah, Lo Aliba the Reb Shimon. You have to reinterpret the last line. Talk Maskinon. It must mean that the Braisa is talking to his beit kaveh. Kaveh are windows. There are windows in this beehive. And when he puts the mat on top, the bees are not getting caught.
From the side they can get out.
Yes.
They can get out from the side, in other words.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what does the last line in the Braisa mean? Not vachala is kavein lotzud. It doesn't matter what he has in mind. What it really means to say, that's not what it means. You shouldn't intend to catch the bee. It doesn't matter what you intend. What the Braisa meant to say, you shouldn't put the mat in such a way that it may or may not, that it may or may not be trapping the bee. You have to put the mat in such a way that for sure you're not trapping any bee. But if you put the mat in such a way that you may be trapping bees already, and you're not allowed to. If it's vadai going to trap the bees, even Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to. But if you put the mat in such a way that you may or may not be trapping the bees, Reb Yudah says it's still awesome. Sure. The Freg Digmar says, so what's the Chiddush?
Yeah,
so what's the Chiddush? That you're not allowed to put the mat in such a way that you're going to trap the bees. That's the din of Seder, Reis Mendoch.
So
the Digmar says, yeah. Chiddush. The Digmar, Pshita. Now the Tamer one might have thought that the Yisr of Seder flies in trapping deer. You're going to hang up the antlers on the on your den. You're going to hang it up. You're trapping moose, and you're going to shecht it and eat it. You're trapping fish, and you're going to eat it. You're going to do something with it. You're trapping bugs. What's you going to do with the bugs? It's the dove shame of mina nitzad. Whoever catches that. So Mahu the Tamer one might have said, the mina nitzad also, shleb mina nitzad mutter. If it's such a balchai that normal people never catch. Some of the manas that they catch all the balchai and they make research, they're studying everything. But the Gemara, they never caught.
Yeah. Only researchers.
So the Gemara says one might have thought that an insect, since the Gemara, no one is interested in catching it. There's no malacha b'seder. The mashmalan that there is a malacha b'seder. But from this Gemara, you see a very interesting point. There is a Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos that has like this. When the Mishnah talks about the dinam of b'seder, and the Mishnah says, let's say I know a wild animal ran into my house, and I'm interested in trapping the animal. I quickly run, close all the windows, close all the doors. So even though I didn't trap the animal, I didn't throw a net on the animal and tie it up. I didn't touch the animal. I just locked. I run around, lock all the windows, lock all the doors. So I accomplished seder without touching the animal. So the Mishnah says that that's seder derais and yichayv misa, yichayv chatos. If it's b'shoyim, yichayv misa is b'meit. Does say seder. So there is a big machlokes in poskim like this. There's a case in the Mishnah, let's say the fellow is on his way to shul. He wakes up in the morning and he's gone to shul. As he opens the door, a wild animal runs in. He wants to close the door that the ganav shouldn't come and steal his svarim, or steal his lakta, whatever he's afraid that they're going to steal. So he wants to close the door that the ganav shouldn't come in. He's not really interested in catching the wild animal, but he knows that by locking the door, it's a psik reisha, the animal will be caught. So that's a big machlokes harishonim. The Rashba says that it's mutter, and the Ran says, well, he talks, perhaps the creation. He knows in advance that the deer is going to get caught, you're not allowed to. So there are many poskim who pass in la locha like the Rashba that it's mutter. The Rashba even says further that we don't pass in la. The Rashba says, even if you want to trap the animal,
since
even
you
if you are interested,
the door to trap it.
Since your main interest really is in locking the door, even if there wouldn't be any wild animal, you would lock the door anyway to protect your belongings. So even though your secondary interest is the fairish, he has a Yerushalmi like that, you explicitly have a secondary interest of trapping the animal, so the Rashba says that that's mutter. So that, the Ran says, he goes wild. He says, what do you mean? It's an Issa Deraisa. He has the fairish in mind, that's an Issa Deraisa. So apparently the Rashba holds the Chiddush Bum Shmiron, except for Allah. The Rashba holds, when do you say that by, without touching the animal, I lock the doors, the pool is done to the windows and the doors, hey, stamaloha on the animal. That's if that's my sole intention. My only intention in closing the windows and the doors is to trap the animal, then the pu'ula on the windows and the doors relates to the animal. But if the pu'ula of locking the doors relates to other things as well, he's interested in protecting the house. It happens that there's an animal, of course he's interested in trapping the animal also. Then the Rashba has a chiddush nifla that the pu'ula that's not on the animal doesn't relate to the animal because that's not his sole intention. So that we don't accept la locha. But many, many poskim yeshuas yankif, and many from the later poskim accept a compromise shita. The Shulchan Gibborim on that Mishnah has this compromise. Shulchan Gibborim on the side of the rift have this compromise between the Rosh Bon Eran. If he locks the windows with the double intention of protecting his belongings and trapping the animal, then it's a Dova HaMiskaven, then it's a Malach HaPseid. But if he traps, but if he closes the windows, he doesn't really care about this wild animal. He knows that by locking the doors and the windows, it's a psik ratio, the animal gets caught, but he's not interested. They don't just call it a Malach HaShem Tzvich HaLagufa, it's Hetagom. So that's a teller. Why is it Hetagom? It's the Chadov HaShem HaMiskaven. Why is it Hetagom? So Yeshua's Yankiv and Avnei Nezer and several other G'day L'Achreinim all say this pshat. When do you say that secretion is usher? When I'm handling the thing, the malacha, I'm handling that object where the malacha occurs. Right. Right. But if I'm doing a pool over here,
yeah.
And you, the Mishnah tells me a chiddush by closing the windows, it's a malacha on the deer, that the wild deer got caught in the house, because I intended to close the windows in order to trap the deer. So that chiddush of the Mishnah, that by doing a pool on one object that accomplishes a malacha on a different object, that is a malacha, that's usher. That's only if I intend it. So then my pu'ula on this object relates to that. But if I really couldn't kill it, I know in advance that that's going to happen. I'm closing the windows and the doors to keep the ganavim out, but also I know the deer is not going to be kept
out.
In, it's getting trapped. But I'm not really interested in that. So my pu'ula on the other thing doesn't relate to this. So that vart, that pshara that several poskim have, is against our gemara. The Farish against Agamar. Agamar said the Farish.
He wants to protect it.
Lotsu is Kavin Lotsu. The Gemara says there's only according to Reb Shimon. The Gemara says, and according to Reb Shimon, it makes sense. It's the Chapsik Reisha. He's putting a mat on top of the beehive in order to protect the honey. He's not really interested in catching bees, but he knows in advance that the bees are going to get caught, but he's not interested in trapping the bees. So the Gemara says, Abai Verava said that it's a secretion, that it's also the Farish in the Gemara. Even though he's doing a pool on the windows, he's closing up the windows for a different purpose, but he knows in advance that the bees are going to get trapped. So the Gemara said, the Farish, that's a secretion. I don't know. Many Achrenim hold from this compromise. That's the whole heta that they talk about. In Washington Heights we have, I'm sure you have it over here also, there are certain areas where you just can't walk. If you walk in a certain location, your image will be on a screen or on a tape. Let's say for security purposes in a lot of apartment houses. So they have a videotape that's running the whole time. So whoever walks in, they take a picture of it. So that's a shot. If I stand in front of a mirror, that's not a malach of ksiva. Ksiva is violated whether you write words or you make a picture. I stand in front of a mirror, you say, I made a picture. I didn't make a picture. That's just a reflection of me. I didn't make a picture. But if I stand over here, if I walk in front of the candid camera in order to have my picture over there on the screen or on the tape, that is called ksiva. That is called ksiva. That's not stama reflection. That's a violation of ksiva. It's not. Maybe it's not a ksav. It's not a ksav shel kayoma. It could be that it's only ksiva midirabbanim, whatever. But there is an issue of ksiva involved over here. So the shaila is, but I'm not interested. I just want to go to shul. And there's only one way to go to shul. You got to walk over here, and you're in front of this camera, and they're going to have your picture on there.
You're on the camera. Somebody else put on the camera. The next people on the first will grab.
No, but if I don't walk in front of the camera, if I don't walk in front of the camera, so it won't record my image. If I stay home, there won't be any ksiva. One guy sets up the camera, and then I come later, and I walk. So my walking is the ksiva. That's the shaila. It's a psik ratio of ksiva, is it? So it's a psik ratio delay nichalei. I couldn't care less about that. So some Rishonim hold psik ratio and nichalei is mutter. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend you should be machmer for that. The Shita Sa'aruch, basically, the Shita Sa'aruch is that psik ratio and nichalei is mutter. But we're machmer for that whenever possible. Psik ratio and nichalei not allowed them.
You can't pop and cover your face.
No, they have that image.
That image.
That image is nothing. It's not
a secret. It's not a secret. I'm putting that in.
Yeah.
The whole thing, he's not interested in the whole thing. It's a psik ratio and nichalei, but it's still a psik ratio. So the ganze hefe that they kvetched toys, one of the rabbonim from Eretz Yisrael wrote a whole tshuva on this. So the ganze hefe that he kvetched toys was this svara, that when do you say that psikreshi is also when I'm handling that object on which the malacha occurs? Over here I'm walking over here and the malacha occurs over there. So when you're doing a pool over here, I'm walking in the street here and this causes the malacha to occur over there. So the Mishnah says that it's forbidden to close the windows and the doors. we'll do an act of tzeda on the animal, that's only usher if you're interested in being mitzarefet. But if you're not interested, even if it's a psik reishay, so the Shuas Yankiv and the Abnei Nezer and the Bachan of Asman and a few more before and after, a few B'dad Achreidim had this compromise of the Shulti Geborim and that Mishnah and Shabbos, they say, even though it's a psik reishay, it's mutter. So that's the Shaila. What do they do with this Gemara? This is Gemara of Ferris. That is all. The bottom of Laman Vavam and
Al. This problem will also be if you have somebody has a light. You pass by, it goes on, or goes. You pass by. Also,
same Shaila.
Same Shaila.
Same Shaila. No, he knows it. Let's say he knows in advance.
Yeah.
If he doesn't know, then it's Mishnah. Right. If he knows in advance, then it may or may not go on. That's the Dovah Shem and his Kabbalah. If he knows for sure that it will go on,
then
it's a creation. But he's not. But he's not doing. He's not handling the light. So it's the same type of a shot. Exactly right. So our Gemara is against these. Against these are right. Secretion of Nichalai Ana de Rabbanon. Tesis says like that. Tesis in Sukkah says that when do we disagree with the Orach, only Psik Reshul and Nichol Ana Derais, Ana Derabbanan is Mutter. That's what Tesis says. And in the Mishnah Berurah there's a stira. This is one of Rav Avadia Yosef's favorite shurim. There's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Is it enough if it's a Psik Reshul and Nichol Ana Derabbanan, or does it have to be a double Derabbanan? Psik Reshul and Nichol Ana double Derabbanan. So a stira in the Mishnah Berurah had a pass. I remember last year Rav Nevinzal came to America for a chasana, a cousin of someone. So he came to the yeshiva one day, had a lot of chasidim in the yeshiva. He came, he gave a shir, he gave a drasha, made a big hit. So he has this problem. He always goes by the Kosel Amarovi, and now they put in security cameras and they take tapes of everybody. So he stopped going there on Shabbos where they take them. So when he came to the yeshiva, so I started telling him, we have the problem in the yeshiva, that for the purpose of security, 2 years ago, they're putting these cameras all over. So now it's impossible to walk into the yeshiva on Shabbos without... I don't know if they're on. I don't know if they're on. So if you don't know if it's on or not, then it's a double shame. It's gone. Maybe yeah, maybe not. But the guards, I don't know if the guards don't speak English. Guards are not sure if it's on either. They don't know what's going on. So the shaila is, they had a scare the other day of anthrax right in front of the yeshiva on Erev Shabbos in the morning. There's someone left a white envelope with Arabic writing on it with a picture of that laden on. So the police came, they made everybody crazy, they blocked off the whole block. So the Bochum were in davening then. So when they came out of davening, so he asked the guards, what's going on? So they said, something about Amtrak. They're not sure, something about Amtrak. They didn't copy exactly what it was. So the guards are not too sure either whether they... So Rav Nevinzal came to the yeshiva, so I started talking to him about it, because it's our problem, it's his problem there, it's our problem over here. So I said over this, that one of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael printed this heter, tzad heter, that I'm walking over here and the malacha occurs over there. So he made a face, he didn't like it at all. I said, what do you mean over here, over there? But the beams are over here, so I'm touching, I'm breaking the beams, and I'm touching it, it's all connected. By the window, he said, by closing the window, there's nothing connected with the deer. So the deer gets caught without touching. But he says, how does the mifas happen that your face appears? Because there are beams that go, light that goes, or whatever. So he says, so you're touching those beams, you're touching the light, so vitally you're connected with. So Shaila,
the Lord is all right.
No,
Sikresh la Nichale. It's probably only Ksiva de Rabbanon, and many Poskim hold Sikresh la Nichale is Mutter. There's room to be Mitzadeh Lohakol. What did he make of? But it's questionable. Questionable. And this week said, in Lech Lecha, we read about Avram Avinu, that after winning the war, the Melech Saddam offers him Tenli HaNefesh Olchush Kachloch. He offers him everything, so he says he doesn't want to take anything. He doesn't want to take Michut Vatzrach now. So the Gemara says, Omar Rove, the Gemara in Chulin, quotes Rove, says, Bishkar, that Avram Avinu refused to take Mitzchut Vatzrach now, his descendants, the Klalos of the Zeche, to the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, because he didn't want to take Michut, and that was Zeche, the Tfilin, because the shoe straps are like Tfilin. Like when you see a chalitza shoe, Taka has ritzuas. The ritzuas of the chalitza shoe are mamish like ritzuas of tzum. So that's what he said. Strechnal are not shoe laces, but shoe straps, the same as Ritzel. So what was the big chus that he didn't want to take Michutzat Zachnal? What was the Nidus Chasidus? So Rashi comments on that Gemara, he didn't want to be Nenem min HaGezel. What's Gezel? You offered him a Matana. Why is it Gezel? Why is it Gezel?
Also, if you get something in the wall, it's yours, no?
Oh, so some say that that's the pshad. Avraham Avinu really was kind of... Melech Sdom wasn't offering him anything.
Yeah.
He was begging on his knees, give me tenzi ha-nefesh, parker.
Yeah.
Not I'm going to be generous, I offer you harchush kachloch. No, Avraham Avinu was kind of everything with kibish mokoma. But Melech Sdom was pleading, tutma ha-tevi, give me back. I used to be a Melech Sdom, I have nothing now.
Yeah.
I'm always macher. So give me back my people, so I'll give you everything. I don't want any of this stuff. I was kind of a kibbish mochama. Strictly speaking, it's mine, but it's really a form of gezel he doesn't want to have. That's what some say pshat. Others say pshat. Some rishonim say pshat differently. The Bali Ates and Chumash have a different pshat. He didn't want to be nedom ner hagezel. Means that this gangster, Melech Sdom, was a ganef. How did he become rich? He used to rip off everybody, used to gamble for everybody else. So he's giving me a matana, let's say sometimes he's gone off and donate money to the yeshivas. For whatever reason, they want to get a kapar or whatever. So the yeshivas should turn down their offer. They shouldn't be nanam and agezo. How did he get rich? Through gzela. So Avraham Avinu says, I don't want your dirty money. It's the filthy money, I don't want your dirty money. That's how the Baliyat